October 6, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. We will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we are asking everyone to say a prayer for our brother Sheikh Qasim Nathari's daughter Tamina. She's in the hospital. We pray to Allah that she will get well and be able to return back to her family and to her community. Also, we are asking everyone to make a prayer for my Baba Shafiq, son Sabira, who passed away last night. And we are asking Allah to forgive him his faults and his sins and grant him paradise. And I'm waiting for the information on his janazah. The Prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer, the all-knowing, and the foreseer. And he has a plan to override all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the Prophet, and only a few of them, a select few, among the top scientists or the top scholars of the Islamic scientists came to the conclusion that the Prophet of Rajulun Ta'alamun, meaning that he is the perfect man and he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. So he is complete man and the complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed his man as he intended for him to be made on this earth, then he became the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose or the desire or whatever that is perfect. So when the man has met the qualifications that were expected from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 3, this day have those who reject the faith give up all hope of your religion. Yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected for you your religion, for you and completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be the complete and perfect. For on this day I have revealed for you your religion, completed my favor on you, have perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection goes together. So the completion is the perfection. When it is complete as God intended, it is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was the reflection of the Quran more so than that, was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is, and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran, and God has deposited the whole revelation into that vessel to cause a scholarly lady, Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as the embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. See, they didn't speak English. They spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, he is the embodiment of the Quran. Then if his identity, when she was asked to describe him, if his identity then is really the embodiment of the Quran walking, living amongst us, expressing itself amongst us, in marvelous words and also with deeds, then if he was that, and the Quran was completed and perfect, then he himself is also complete, completed and perfect. So the scholars reason that Muhammad, present the peace be upon him, is the answer to an age-long expectation that was on the wise of the world, that man was being moved by his creator, by his shaper, to better and more complete form. That he is not finished. That's why it says, I will be what I am. I shall be what I am. What I am, I am not yet, but I shall be what I am. So who could say that with any more confidence, comfort, than Adam himself, if he knew his creation? Adam is the one who should say that. Adam should say that. Somebody might say, who are you, Adam? If Adam knew that he was created to be the Khalifa and that he really was incomplete, but it was coming. Adam represented the line of life that continues. So Muhammad is Adam in completion and perfection. So if someone says Muhammad was Adam, am I incorrect? No, I am perfectly correct. Was Adam in completion, in perfection? He is Adam. So Adam started with the first creation, the first act of God to create his man. And mind you, Allah did not say to the angels, I have created a man. God never said to the angels, I have created a man. I want you to respect him, God said. I am going to create a man. I am going to create a Khalifa. If you look at the expression in the Quran, and you as a person who has studied the word, its grammatical rule for its grammar, how it is to be explained grammatically, you will know that God was saying not that I created or that I am going to create. By reason, yes, I am going to create. But actually what God said is, I am creating. I am in the act right now of creating a Khalifa. And Naja'alun. And I am making a creation, where am I making him? In heaven, Fil'at, in the earth. So I'm making in the earth a Khalifa. So that is what God says to the angels. But it's okay to translate it, I'm going to make in the earth a Khalifa. I'm not saying that we should do away with that translation. But for the teaching, you should make it clear that the verb says, I am making at this time, I am doing this, and I am making now. I am making a ruler or a Khalifa in the earth. So God speaks on Adam. Spoke on Adam. Adam was the first step in the work, in that plan. Adam had in himself at that time the concept God created. And the concept at that time had all future possibilities in it, although Adam at that time had not awakened to all of those possibilities, all the future possibilities in him. Adam, when he was made, he became father of all the generations, the father of even our leader, our prophet, the last prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So Muhammad the eighth led seven prophets in prayer. So we know according to the teaching of the prophet, Adam was the first concept, and out of him it was possible to have all the other concepts. According to the teachings of the prophet, it was possible to have Jesus, the Christ, peace be upon him, and it was possible to have after him Joseph, Yusuf, peace be upon them, and Idris, the fourth, peace be upon him, and Harun, Aaron, the fifth, peace be upon him, and Musa, Moses, the sixth, peace be upon him, and Abraham, the seventh, peace be upon him, and Muhammad, the completion of all of them, who led them all in prayer. Peace be upon him. He was the eighth, and he led the seventh in prayer. So prayer is the word, the Quran. So this is Islamic teaching. He led the seven in prayer, even his father, Adam. He led his father, Adam, in prayer. He led his father, Abraham, in prayer. What is this telling us? That here is the son, the last son, in the prophetic progression, the last son, he led even his two fathers in prayer. Did he lead them in anything else other than prayer? No, only in prayer. So what is the prayer? The word. What is the word? The Quran. So the completion and the perfection that they all were aspiring to reach. Now here's the answer coming in the last one. And without a doubt, he saw him in the clear horizon. So he leads them in prayers to demonstrate to us by way of metaphor, to demonstrate to us that he is the line of growth completed. Here is what Adam wanted. Here is what Christ Jesus wanted. Here is what Joseph wanted, Yusuf wanted. Here is what Idris wanted. Here is what Aaron wanted. Here is what Moses wanted. Here is what Father Abraham wanted. This is what they all wanted. They wanted the arrow to reach its target. And here it is fired out of a bow to traveling along to the destination as though they are one, reconciled perfectly, hitting the target perfectly. The Quran said he met them on the far horizon. It was a long ways from Adam's day, a far horizon. But that spirit finally got there, and the job was completed and perfect. Yes. So this is the way we should understand it. Christianity is no threat. What is their justification with holding this knowledge from their masses? They are slave masters, intentionally or unintentionally. They are slave masters. So this is the common knowledge that will protect us and allow us to grow in strength and in quality, numbers and quality. So this is the knowledge we need. If they would give their followers, I'm speaking of the Muslim world, what I give you, they wouldn't have to worry about Christians coming amongst them, converting Muslims. They would be no threat from Christianity. How can they be a threat from a lower plane to a higher plane? God has been raising this up from lower plane to higher plane. And we claim that Abraham sits on the highest plane. Then how then there can be any threat from our zone, from these zones beneath us? So this is not to speak and show disrespect or to speak in a disrespectful way of Christianity and Judaism. No, it is not at all. But it is simply to say that if that's all they have is what was written for them, we don't have anything to worry about. Now, God has progressed their thinking and enabled them to extract from what has been revealed to their prophets of old and see the light as it should be seen in its completion and perfection. We still don't have anything threatening from them. We should make them our allies. We should become allies because we have been blessed by God, all of us, to come to the promised land. Now, the purpose in me dwelling on the concept or the idea of Khalifa like this all this long time is because I believe that it is our strongest starting point when we want to understand what is my existence, what is this thing here I call me, my flesh, my body, little baby. It can teach us something. We say, I'm going to take a bath. But listen to the little baby. Sometimes there is a little alert baby in the house or the young child in the house. And you say bath, and the baby will say body. Do I have to wash my body? So body, that's what you are. You are a body and a conscience. And conscience is in the body consciousness. Talking about Khalifa, we have dwelled on this term all of this time to establish that the starting point for us in understanding what we are and where we should be going is Khalifa. It gives us the complete picture that should be motivating or motivation in our life for every interest that we have, for every area of field of interest. Khalifa should be the thing that generates confidence, hope in us. What can we not accomplish if we believe ourselves to be the Khalifa? If we are believers in God as Muslims, God has made everything to give its service to his Khalifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has made everything in disguise. That means the universe or the external world. He has made everything in the skies. The skies, he said, skies, plural, semi-where, everything in the sky and the world. The Quran says he made it to give its service to his Khalifa. And he put Khalifa into the plural, meaning there will be Khalifas, many all over the world. And they will be generations after generations. They will continue just like the generation of man. In fact, the Khalifa is the real line of the generation of man. It is the real line of the generation of man. He said that he has made us Khalifas or Khalifis in the earth. And then we, if we understand that, and we see that our starting point is Khalifa, something that is not finished. The finish line for the Khalifa is Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And with him, all of us, if we follow his revelation, his pattern, his suwat, his uswa, his pattern, who can motivate us better than God? The starting point is that point. And as long as we perceive or see ourselves in our ability and our creative ability, our inherent or creative ability, as long as we see ourselves native ability, all referring to the same as Khalifa, then we don't need anybody to motivate us. We can motivate us better than, pardon me, who can motivate us better than God? Allah is the best motivator, motivate for us. So Khalifa is for everyone in the essence of pristine nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us that all of us in our essence, all of us in our pristine nature, in our original capacity, all of us have the potential to be his Khalifa on this earth. So they are learned Muslims that I have met from different parts of the world, particularly from Pakistan, India, Palestine, Palestinian, hinted very strongly to me by or from a Sardis and an Egyptian, that maybe Allah is making a Khalifa in America. I have had some agents come up to me and even told me. And I told them the same thing I told you all. The Khalifa is not meant to be one man. We all are Khalifas. And if we have someone who qualifies to be the leader for us all, then that person should simply be called the leader for that group or the imam, but not Khalifa. That term is reserved because it is a property of the common person. It is the inheritance of the common person. And if you make it the title for your leader, you take the common person mind off of it as their inheritance. They told me that, and I witnessed inside, they were telling the truth. The Khalifa is being made in America. The job of light is to condition life. So the biggest job of light is conditioning the light. So when light comes, it doesn't only show you where you can go, but light makes you feel better inside. Light is revealing. Darkness is burdensome, especially when you want to do something or do things. As why God says, he made the darkness to oppress and made the light to liberate. So if light conditions as well as clear the environment so we can see where we go and how to go about it, what is this conditioning? And I was about to say the conditioning is that it makes you feel better. It makes you less burdensome. It makes you more prepared to act or to move to do the things you have to do. It elevates you. It elevates you. That's why the light is also called a light. It's elusive. It elevates you, pardon me. It makes you feel more alive, more active. You got more energy to go now. And it actually energizes you, like energizes the spirit, just like the physical electricity energizes whatever it's sent into, right? So the light energizes the spirit, and it also comforts and gives warmth or comfort, because with light comes warmth too. So the same light that gives us life also gives us warmth. The sun, the original light, the biggest light we have, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hung up there in the ceiling. And when it is hung up there, all other lights lose their attention. They are not on stage anymore. They still exist, but they are not, they have no stage anymore once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hangs that big sun up there in the daytime. So the sun, what is the role of that light? And this is the light that we should be comparing the light of revelation with, sun and light. Then the sun and the light is a sign, a metaphor in our world pointing us to really the true light, which is the light of revelation, the light of enlightenment, divine enlightenment. It is a sign of that. So let's look at the sun as a symbol now, as a sign of the real thing. So this sun does not only clear the environment for us to see things and approach them more safely and manage them more safely, etc. All this, but it also energizes us. It contributes to the happy days for us. Oh, look how bright. Isn't this a beautiful, bright day? Sun symbolic of happiness. I've heard men of wisdom in ancient scriptures say that originally the sun was not a symbol of light, though it was the light. They say it was a symbol of happiness. The light, the sun comes up to happiness. So the light of the sun meant happiness, the influence was happiness. So this is what it meant to ancient people. I'm told and I believe it. I believe it. I also did some research. I believe that in ancient times, they saw it mainly as a symbol of happiness, not just light. So we know that that is the element behind all other development. The sun influences weather more so than anything else. The sun acts upon the earth, acting upon the environment, maybe not directly all the time, but the sun and its role influences weather more than anything else. It is the force behind all weather, cold and hot, rain and snow, sleet, everything, tide. We say the moon controls the tide. That's what they say. The moon has no light of its own. The moon has no phases without the sun. So its phases are caused by the sun and its path and its relationship to the earth and their path around the sun. So this is how we have to explain it. So we explain whatever happens to the moon, whatever happens to the earth. If we explain it, we have to go to the sun to explain it. Tamim, manun, warm soil. For earth, the womb for all life. Tamim, hamus, from dying and decaying soul. Now, plants grow not really because of rain. It is an additive. Plants grow because of the sun on the earth. The earth is the womb. The earth has the germ. But the sun must feed it. Now, before even there was germs in the earth, there was the sun. And the sun in time made the germ for production. Scientific thinkers, I'm sure, you just instantly, you see it all. Because we know before there was animal life, plant life, then animal life, and a lot of that dying and decaying fully made human soil. That's how human soil came into existence. And now from human soil, we get all the great production, things coming up and dying, death building up the soil, is what has made it possible for us to have the richness of soil. Humans that we have now. God made his man from what? Human, not just soil. Humus masnum. He made his man from humus masnum. He made this man from rich soil, fertile soil. And the expression hamun is for the people of that time in their language. Amin means warm. So you got a lot of life and a lot of fertility in the soil. And it's better than the soil without fertility. You who work with soil, you know, you put your hand in the rich soil and it feel it, then it put it in the sand. And the sand is cooler. So the more fertile soil is warmer, mesnoon. Is a play on, it might be offensive to your smells. So some translators said from stinky mud. They translated from stinky mud. That's not an exact translation. That is not a perfect translation. There is nothing there that says stinky, but it just says that it is warm. It has heat. And it is something that you might despise. But out of that comes the possibility for your life and your future. So what built up all of that humus for the life to be created out of? The sun. And the sun appeared to the ancient man to rise up really from the bowels of the earth. You see, ancient man was not scientific, so he didn't know where the sun was coming up from. The only thing he knew was that it was coming up. So when he was out at sea, it looked like it dripping some of his fire back into the water. So he thought it was coming out of the water. So if he was at sea or if he was on an ocean, then the ocean was the east. When it rolled out of the ocean, he thought that the sun was actually rising out of the water. And it appeared actually to be dropping some of its fire back into the water. So I've seen it. It doesn't come up clear, or clean, pardon me, and clear. I mean, clear of the water. So when it rises up, you see beneath the sun the illusion that the sun looks like is dripping some of its fire down into the water as it's coming up. God has made the rising of the sun on ocean fronts or lake fronts or things like that to appear to man as actually it is coming up out of the water. And if the land is open at its appearance, is that it appears that it is coming up out of the earth itself. So that's the sun is actually coming up out of the earth. So if the land is not open like our city land, it looks like it's just flying across the sky in any explanation. Without science, it is a spooky thing, isn't it? Only science took the spook out of it. So we know now that it's just an inanimate body of fire, of burning material. We know that now. But ancient man did not. He was in the Thuliman, the oppressive darkness. And he was being formed, and God formed him to believe that a God is doing this. And this is a sign to me that I have to read. So what? How shall I read this, my Lord? He doesn't know his Lord. He doesn't know science either. But he believes in his Lord. He knows that something did all of this, or did it all. How I am to read this, my Lord? He finally come to read it as God intended for him to read it, as the potential of the sun rising up out of the earth, as the potential of the sun coming up out of the earth to light the earth. Now, look at your earth, your body. He also made a sun to rise in your body, in the dead matter of your body. And once your potential rises up and frees itself from the bowels of your earth, your personal body, it will light your world. Yes, it was a sign that God gave ancient man. And then the language becomes confused in time. And they take the sun to be God. I may say then that the Khalifa can be interpreted and metaphorically depicted as the sun, couldn't it? So the Khalifa, not the sun, the S-O-N, the S-U-N. We must come to understand religion, the life history of religion, because when we are talking about religion today, we are talking about religion in a complete new picture or a new focus on a view from that man had before, what we call the traditional or classical prophets of God, you know. So we think about Adam. We talked about Adam. We have history. Man's history bears witness to creation, certain developments in the life of religious people. And we can go back to a time when religion for man was what the modern world came to call heathenism and paganism, idol worship. So religion of early man was not corrupt. Paganism, idolatry, declined in religion. I believe that what we call paganism and heathenism, idol worship, and I believe that this represents a decline in religion. I believe that originally man did have what he may call, for what of a better term, primitive religion. But his primitive religion was not a corrupt thing like we find in much of paganism or heathenism. I believe that his religion was the best that could come about in this time than human conditions and circumstances. And I believe that he saw, as we just explained earlier, things in the government as, pardon me, things in the environment as messengers themselves of the God behind it all. He saw these things as messengers, the sun as a messenger, giving him a message, the tree or the particular tree that attracted him, his attention more than others, as a message, giving him a message. So Khalifa is sun. Now, it is interesting to me to note that in some languages, S-U-N, the sun outside, is nature, neutral, or of nature gender, a neutral gender. In some languages, it's masculine. Pardon me. In some languages, feminine. Now, if my reasoning that I established earlier is correct, that the sun may be used as a sign or a symbol of Khalifa, the potential that is in us, that once it is freed or released, it becomes the light of our world. If I am right, correct in that, then look how well this language problem supports what I'm saying. They can't give a gender to the sun. Our language says that is a she. Another language says it's a he. Another language said is nature. Potential and our potential were both male and female. So woman not the cause of the downfall of man. Isn't this the same problem we have with our own selves? This sex problem we have? We can't decide whether we should be men or women, females or males, or unisex or what? But in our potential, we are both. And the best rule, as I said earlier, he must have been in him, the sensitivity of both in him, in order to be a good ruler. Now, that takes a lot of macho out of the man, doesn't it? Well, look at your body. If you are a normal man, came up naturally and normally, the right muscle is a little stronger than the left muscle or the left one. So we have a male side and a female side. Brand stronger, intellectually on so-called the left weaker body side. So actually you have a female side and a male side. But the sentences says most of your best help for your intellect comes from the left side and not from the right side. Isn't that what they say? So the weaker side physically is the strongest side when it comes to intellectual integrity. And you know the beginning of the intellect for Adam didn't come until he had a wife. I'm talking straight, man. Actually, facts of history, language of scripture, etc. He didn't even know he had eyes until he got a wife. You say, oh, but that wife caused him to lose his sight. No, he just had to have a night in which to rest so he can wake up and have more energy for another day and a better day, because each time he went to sleep, when he woke up, he woke up better, more prepared for the day, better prepared for the day. And in Al-Islam, the wife wasn't the cause of it. The wife isn't a partner with the serpent in Al-Islam. The serpent is acting himself. And he, the serpent, is deceiving both male and the female. So he is causing the problem for both of them. And the woman is not helping him. See, not his partner in Islam. Understand that, Baptist brother, who is teaching Islam now. Man, two stages, natural possibility and revelation. Now, the point that I want to make here is this. The religion has taken man to two stages. Religion for man in the first stage was man in the hands of God. That represented the natural possibility before revelation. Religion for us begins with Adam, the first man. And the first man with us means the beginning of the strain in the intellect for enlightenment. So actually, the beginning for us is the beginning of revealed religion, revealed to Adam. So God revealed to Adam. Adam, man of human nature, not sin. He failed to learn not to commit bigger obstacles in the future. God revealed to Adam because God said, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, that means the gift of inspiration, divine inspiration, revelation. And God said, and he came up upon a word, and he repented. So the word was the word of revelation, and he repented for his sins wrong. And God accepted his repentance. So Adam is not the man of sin. He is the man of human nature. He is capable of making errors. He is capable of sinning. But that's what God created him for. God created him to learn by experience and to grow by experience, to not to repeat the mistakes he made, but to learn from them so he doesn't make them in the future. And he prepared to perhaps to avoid even bigger obstacles in the future, because he already met with the smaller one and alerted him better and alerted him more. So we see that as a learning process, what they call the weakness in man. We see it as a component of his strength. If he didn't have also the capacity to err along with the capacity to want to be perfect, we wouldn't progress. Angels, one capacity is to be perfect, not to err. So the angel have only one capacity, the capacity to be perfect. They don't have the capacity to err, to make error. But it wasn't the angel that God said he put a degree over man. It was his khalifa that he said he made a degree over the angels. I wouldn't exchange this human nature for anything in creation, nothing on earth or in heaven. I know that might disappoint you. It is not in my nature to want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best, everything, but it is not in my nature. Pardon me. To want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the most attractive place for me is the place of human life and possibility. Human life and human possibility. That's the most attractive place for me. It is not in my nature. Pardon me. Give me 1 second. So full and revealed wisdom wants to be God. Now that I understand God in the world, it is not in my nature to even want to approach in any small degree. Means also that you are supposed to monitor their state, and you see their state not clean or unrest, it should make you question what you are doing. And they will be a signal to you to get back on the right track or to come away from something you've gotten evolved in, etc. So this is how it works. The whole of all important parts work together for the success of the whole. And this is a true democracy. So when all of the people are inclined in the shaping and promoting of the directing of the interests of the community, that makes for a true democracy. As a philosopher, we may go a little bit further with this idea now and say that even though, because philosophically thought, it doesn't only act to make conclusions upon what is established, but it makes conclusions upon what is even alluded to or what is possible, maybe, even though it is in the hereafter, maybe that far away. Now, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even thought he favored just a few of us to realize so much of that capacity and that potential that he has given us, that we are able to rise to the top. He has deposited that in every single one of us. Every single one of us have it. So we have it, or we are, she has it. Now, the idea for the society then must acknowledge that. So in the idea of the society, social idea, or the political idea, whatever we want to call it, that we have to give us a sense of perception of our society, how it should operate. The language should also say that each person, male and female, though they don't express or manifest the ability that God deposited in every human being, the law of the land and the authority of this land, the law, the community, the authority of this community realizes each and every person as being equal to the top person in the society based on what God intended for you. So you are equal. So I'm not to see any person, male or female, no matter how less learned they are than I am, or no matter how bad their behavior is, I'm not to see them as a sin animal or as a beast of burden, that I'm not to take and put all the physical burden on. They can do all the dirty things, take the room, the broom, sweep. To suppose I'm supposed to be weary about this state, and I'm supposed to be coming up with ideas to reach his intellect, to turn his intellect on. So we never give up on any member of our society. The right of every member is the same right that each of us may claim. So we are to treat them with respect. And if we see them in a bad condition, we are not to put them in an oppressive situation where they can never come out of it, where they think that God intended for them to do nothing but sweep up the trash at the end of the day, or with the pots, the pans at the end of the day. We are supposed to be hurt by that brother's situation, by him being locked into a groove or a pattern like that. It should hurt us, and we should be trying to reach his intellect to let him know that the Creator thinks that the greater things await you, brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means much more than this for you. We should have this kind of compassion on the people, and if we have that kind of appreciation for each individual person on or equal level with the best of us, and we have that interest in freeing them for greater possibilities in their life, then we are really doing the job of Khalifa. So we are really doing the job of Khalifa. The community interest is bigger than the individual interest. The individual possibilities work with the community or with the environment, and the community to bring environment and the community to its better future. But the individual can't do it alone. The individual can't do any We're without community interest because the community interest is the second component. It's individual interest that the number one component. In the individual interest in inherently of a community possibility in the individual himself. So he has inheritance naturally put in him by his creator, the possibilities for the community future. So individual like a seed. So he is like a seed. The seed has to be planted in the field. The field must be the environment or the contents for his future possibility. So if we don't alert him and awaken him or place him in community interest, he has not much of a future. So we have to do two things. We have to, as clear as we possibly can, perceive the individual as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for him to be perceived in this, in his concept. And then perceive the community interest as best we can based upon Quran and the life of our Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Conceive the interest and then bring the two to be reconciled. Say, brother, you are a possibility for great things. You really are the place in the earth, and the earth will feed your needs. So the sun gives spirit to that seed. Give spirit to it, spirit for it, energizes it, and also supplies it with another form of energy. They call it chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is green, isn't it? Growth, that's what green is, growth. And we know that this is the way the trees grow, by the sun having a chemical effect on the leaves, and the leaves feeding the tree, and the roots taking up water and also carbon. So the tree is mostly carbon, isn't it? So the body is mostly carbon. So that carbon is mostly coming from the itself. So if I'm correct, if I remember my science correctly, it comes from that chemical process that produces by the sun effect on the leaves that makes them green, but also makes them take in energy. Also, chlorophyll enables them to take on and bring about the process of changing that energy to carbon, the wood, for Phosphorism, that's what they call it, a big word. So that's how the tree grows, not just from the root, but also from the leaves. The leaves breathe and receive energy from the sun. They are taking it in the air, carbon dioxide is taken in and also feeding from the sunlight by the process of photosynthesis, and that's how the tree is able to get that big body, big strong body. All plants must have leaves or some shoots to come out that will receive from food from the sun, right? So if they don't, they can't grow. You know, the mushroom, it grows in the dark. But it looks like a womb baby to me. It doesn't look like a baby out of the womb to me. It looks like a womb baby to me. I don't want to be a mushroom, I'll tell you that. Now, in perceiving the society, the interest of the society is very simple. What is the interest of our society? The interest is to perceive ourselves first as social creatures. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over and over again that he made us as a plant, plants also have male and female. They generate and they grow together. So that's how they grow best. So when you put certain grasses to it, self, and keep other grasses out, that grass thrives better. So man is a social creature, and the spirit of the Quran is what? The spirit of the Quran is social inspiration. It feeds our social aspirations. So this world, this word social, is bigger than we think it is. By social, we don't mean just associating with each other physically, but our dependency on each other as members of a world society. We want to keep the focus on the Muslim community right now. As members of the Muslim community, our dependency on each other brings us together, and our love for each other brings us together. So here we have a love for each other that brings us together, and a dependency on each other that brings us together. So pretty soon we find that the teacher of the school has to be tied up full time in doing the in doing that. But there is also a need to have businesses growing in the community. So there is a business person feeding business, the social content, in terms of people. Let's keep people, keeps expanding with growth. And as it grows, there is more demand for more things to take care of the need of its growing people. He can have the regulation of the home in the pattern. He can have the regulation of the family in the parent. He can have the regulation of the morals in the parent. To display, to discipline, the laws that discipline the family can be in the parent. Everything can be in the parent. That's a small unit, and he can manage that. But when it extends and involve hundreds of families, he can't manage that. If there is nobody but him and his family, he can go out and take his son out with him, children with him, and go out and plow the field and regulate his own food. He doesn't need anybody to regulate the economy for him. He can handle that. But when they multiply in a social unit, it's the social unit that is getting bigger. The social unit gets bigger and brings in demand more industry for more sophisticated government, more complex government ideas, and everything else we can think of. So there is not one other single influence responsible for the growth and the development of a society, or then a social principle or a social influence. So the Quran, Surah 68, Ayat 4, Prophet is on the exalted character. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayat 78, Father Abraham named you Muslim before. El Hadith, page 1, 117 and 9W. Believe or not, if neighbor is hungry. So life begins with concern, then intent. As I previously stated, man can have nothing without striving for it. We must also understand that matter are judged by the intent. If the intent is good, then God will reward you with good. You can also do something that is good with a bad intent, and God will give you the benefit of your intention. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, actions are judged by intention, and every man shall have but that which he intended. Thus he whose migration was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, his migration was for Allah and his messenger. And he whose migration was to achieve some worldly benefit, or to take some woman in marriage. His migration was for that which he migrated. So before there can be any intent, intuitive endeavors on the part of our souls, there must first be concern. If you have no concern, you are without life. Life begins with concern. You can tell the extent of death in a people by looking at the amount of concern they have. Prophet Muhammad, prayer and the peace be upon him, also said, if you cannot be a believer until you concern agrees with what I have brought. So if you want to be a believer, your concern should be in accord with what God has given Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, which is the Quran. The concern of Muslims must first be Quranic or Islamic concern. So that is what makes us Muslims. Many who profess this religion in America wonder, why is it that I don't feel that I am being a Muslim? You feel this way because you don't know Quranic concern. You mean what you mean well and want to be a Muslim. But without knowledge of Quranic concern, you will continue to feel this way. Quran has knowledge for the proper operation of human society. So the way you come to know Quranic concerns is to come out and hear the imam teach Quranic concerns. And you should do it regularly and not just when you feel like it. You should also study Quran of your own when you are at home, when in travel, etc. The Quran is knowledge that has come for the proper operation of human society. If knowledge comes from the comes for the operation of something, you need more than just the knowledge. You also need a demonstration. If you purchase a new machine, you want more than just a manual of how to operate. You also want a demonstration, depending on how technical or how evolved a thing is. People can only do so much on their own. Some things can be so complex that a demonstration is required before you can be given a manual. So in the case of revelation of God, we saw a demonstration before we saw the revelation. So the Quran reveals first the demonstration, Muhammad. The demonstrator, pardon me, Muhammad. God tells us in the Quran of Prophet Muhammad, character, and you stand on an exalted stand of character. We saw in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the excellent life that God wanted for man. So when God revealed the Quran, it wasn't revealed to the people. It came first into the demonstration, and when he recited it, he was also demonstrating it. The demonstrator was there with the word, the life of the Prophet Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon him cannot be separated from the Quran. In order to benefit from the Quran as God intended, you must see the demonstration, the practices and examples, sunnah, of the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. So we should understand that when we take the Kalima, declaration of unity of Allah, and the fact that Prophet Muhammad is his messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him, we cannot say, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, la ilaha illallah, and think, okay, I'm a Muslim. That is only part of the Kalima, the completed. You must say, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of prayers and the peace be upon him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Now that is a shahida. A shahida means to witness. how do I witness that there is but one God? How do I witness that if there is 200 or 300 people in a place? I witness it upon seeing them and register in my own senses. So many people hear the message of El Islam, they call to the path of God, yet some hear it and don't hear it. And they say, yes, I'm ready to take my shahada. How can they take a shahada, their witness, when they have not witnessed anything? So El Islam is not a blind faith. You must see your rational faculty. The invitation to El Islam is not an invitation to blind faith. You must use your rational faculty. You must sit and think while you are hearing a call to Allah, to El Islam. And you must reason and decide with your own tools of intelligence that, yes, this makes better sense. It makes good sense that God is one who created everything. So I bear witness that there is but one God and that Muhammad is the messenger of God. So this religion came to invite people to the path of God. It is not for the spiritually drunk, those who accept faith blindly. God says to the Muslim in the Quran, you are the best of people evolved for mankind, enjoying what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and believing in God. Not only have the Muslim been told to promote the good, but God's prophet specifically points out to us the same thing he said. He is not one of us who does not show mercy to our young ones and respect to our old ones, who does not recommend what is decent, reputable, and prohibited, what is indecent and disrespectful, disreputable. Salakallahu Nadeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa, excellent Murad Speak, for allowing us to come before you once again. And once again, we are asking everybody to say a prayer for our beloved brother, Sheikh Qasim Nathari, daughter, Tamina. He's in the hospital. Pray Allah that he will bless her to overcome her sickness and return home to her family and to her community. We also are asking everyone to make a prayer for my Baba Shafiq, son of Sabir, who passed away last night. We are asking Allah to forgive him his faults and his sins and grant him the paradise. And I'm awaiting for the information on his janazah. And I want to say this. Don't let anybody tell you that because you're a Christian, you can't pray for a Muslim. And because you're a Muslim, you can't pray for a Christian or Jew or Buddhist. Allah, in the Quran, it says, the Holy Quran, it says that God hears the prayers of every supplicant that calls on him. And with a will, listen to his call so that you can walk in the right way. He doesn't say Muslim. He doesn't say human being. He doesn't say any religion, any language. He says supplicant. Why supplicant? Because everything in Allah's creation has a prayer that Allah listens to. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.